Welcome to a Before Tacky podcast. I'm here with Kevin McDonald. He just made the film Hello, I mean High and Low, John Galliano.
Well, hello.
Hello. So let's get started. Okay. So tell me, what attracted you to make a documentary about a fashion designer who had a bit of a hard time, especially you really gave it to us in that opening scene?
Well, you know, it wouldn't be very interesting to make a film about a fashion designer who hadn't had a hard time. And, you know, there's a real story there that even those who are not interested in fashion can get their teeth into. I think this is worth saying that Galliano is considered to be one of the all-time greats of the fashion world. You know,
of course.
He's one of the top five. I mean, Alan Winter said to me right at the beginning, she said, you know, he's one of the five designers who count. And he would maybe make an interesting film, but not for me, if that was the only thing. But then he had this infamous incident in 2011 where he was very, very drunk. He had an addiction issues. And at a bar in Paris, near where he lived, he made all these anti-Semitic slurs and accusations against some pretty random people who were sitting there in the bar with him. And one of those events when he made these anti-Semitic comments went viral. It was recorded by somebody on their phone and went viral. And it ended his career.
Right.
And so the film really is about two things. Why did that happen? Where did that come from? Is he really anti-Semitic? And secondly, somebody who is a genius as he is, because a lot of the film is obviously just his career and going through the beauty of what he did. Should his career be ended? Should he be finished? Or should he be forgiven? And I think that question is really the question that got me interested in this to begin with. Is when somebody who is a great genius in whatever art form does something that we find socially unacceptable, when they break taboos, how do we deal with that? How do we deal with the art after that? It's like, you know, the same thing people talk about with Michael Jackson, for instance.
Right.
You know, people are always debating, should we listen to his music? Should we not?
This is very true. And I think, I agree. I mean, Galliano, my gosh, yeah, he's definitely one of the brilliant fashion designers. I mean, definitely up there with Yves Saint Laurent and Christian Dior, for example.
Yeah.
And, the next question then, going back to your documentary, the filming style the technique you use, the way he looks directly into the camera, you kind of stripped him a little bit, I think. It was very, very honest. Tell me, why did you take that approach?
I used this technique where he's looking directly into the camera because I wanted him to be talking directly to you, the audience. He's in a big close-up. Uh-huh. He's looking at you, the viewer, and you can make your own mind up about him. You can decide, do I think this guy is honest? Do I think he is lying about what happened and what his motivations are? And I wanted him to feel like he's stripped bare. You know, he's not wearing any makeup. He's wearing his normal, everyday, very ratty clothes, actually, a ripped t-shirt and jeans. And so the idea is, you know, here I am, ask me anything. And that was really his attitude to making the film. He's like, I don't have anything to hide. I'd love to be forgiven, but I know a lot of people will never forgive me, but I want people to understand me.
Right, I got you. Segueing into the next question, he's Addiction, the comedy of addicts. I wrote that down. Now, I wasn't sure if this was your point of view or was he being guarded. Did he really understand the consequences of that action and his previous actions, for example?
Does he understand them now? Did he understand them at the time?
At the time.
I think at the time he was in a black hole of overwork, of confusion, of despair of the loss of his closest collaborator, this guy Stephen Robinson, who had died recently. And I think he was on a pathway to complete self-destruction. You know, I think the most credible way of understanding what happened there is that his subconscious mind decided, okay, what's the worst thing I can say? What's the worst thing I can say that's going to make everything stop? That's going to make my job go away? That's going to save my life, effectively.
Right.
So it was like this self-destructive impulse that in the end saved him. And in fact, one of the strange things about John now is that he will say to you, that was the worst moment in my life when I did that, and the consequences of that, I lost my job, I was vilified, I'm still ostracized. But at the same time, it saved my life.
Right.
And that paradox is really interesting.
So do you think he was exploited, for example, or was he a victim of his talent? The exploitation,
I think a bit of both. I think a bit of both. I mean, I think that I like the character in the red shoes, which we quote from a lot in the film. He's somebody who is controlled by his talent in a certain way. He's in the grip of it. He's obsessed.
Right.
He's obsessive. And that same obsession and workaholism, I think, meant that he never turned down any job. So if his bosses at LVMH said, John, do you want to take on the advertising as well? Do you want to do the perfume?
Oh my God.
Do you want to do this photo shoot in China? Do you want to? He would say yes, because I want to control it. I want to control it. I have this vision for the... So that, I think, is partly the cause of his... He was loaded on with work, more and more and more and more work. And I think you could say, well, LVMH are the ultimate owners of Dior, they maybe had a bit more of a duty of care. But I think maybe 15 years ago, people didn't think like that. You know, bosses in a big organization were like, well, work harder, work harder. You know, if you're happy to do the work, then we'll take it. You know, I think now things have changed. Even in fashion, I think they've changed a bit and people are a little more careful. And I think a little, that people would watch out for, well, maybe not completely, but I think it's a little better than it was. Certainly. And so I think that's part of it. And I think there's, so I think LVMH have to share the blame for what happened. And they knew that he was an addict. They could see it. It was obvious to anyone with eyes.
Yeah, you could see it in some of the
videos.
Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, it was obvious that this was going to end very badly. Now, on the other side of things, even John's partner, Alexis, he said to me, you know, John, you couldn't tell John anything in that time. He was like, had that sort of crazed nature of the addict. You know, we've all known those people who like will lie, cheat, steal, tell everyone, the close people to them, that, oh, I don't have a problem. Why are you telling me I've got a problem? You know, and they, you know, do everything to cover up their addiction. So there was a bit of that as well. And it's like, I think both Alexis, his partner, and also LVMH did try to confront him, but John was such a strong personality.
Were they confronting him or were they enablers?
They were both. I mean, I think more than anything else, they were enablers because he was making them so much money and he was creating the modern fashion world in a way. During the 90s, the early 2000s, he's creating what we now know of as this international behemoth that is fashion. Because you've got to remember that back in the 80s, early 90s, fashion was still relatively a small-scale thing. Right. It was this tiny luxury business where you had, you know, a few old countesses and movie stars would buy the stuff and, you know, maybe there'd be a little diffusion line here and there, but basically it was pretty small scale. Mm-hmm. And it was because of people like Bernard Arnault, who owns at LVMH, that fashion became a giant industry. Now it's one of the biggest industries in Europe. Certainly, I think LVMH is one of the two or three biggest companies in the whole of Europe. Yep. He's the richest man in the world.
And
that
bags.
Is built off the back of people like John. And of course, you know, this is what corporations do to creatives. So I think in some ways that's what this film, although it's very specifically about John and his biography, it's also, in a way, you can see it as a metaphor for a bigger story about what fashion is like and how the combination of individual creativity and corporate greed don't necessarily go very well together.
Well, we were talking about it. Yeah, like Judy Garland it sort of reminded me of the story of Judy Garland, exploitation, victim, and then...
Or Amy Winehouse, the same kind of thing. And I think a lot of creative people, particularly performers, but also people like John, you know, they're vulnerable people who aren't necessarily well-equipped for ordinary life, and they need care, and they need somebody who's actually thinking about what's best for them. And I think I would say the same for Whitney Houston, who I did a film about.
Yeah.
You know, Whitney Houston is someone who is childlike, really. And people think, oh, that's strange because she was such a big drug taker. But actually, I think the drugs kept her in the childlike state, so she didn't have to confront the adult world, the real world.
Right.
And she had everybody around her was exploiting her, and nobody was willing to say, hang on a minute, you shouldn't be going on tour. I'm putting you in rehab. You're not coming out until, you know, tough love.
But they're making money from it. Okay, well, you brought up the Whitney Houston story that you made. You made a documentary on Whitney, and you made a documentary on John Galliano. So here's the question. We spoke about this earlier. Your films, you seem to have a less than Mary Poppins view, less than Mary Poppins characters in your story.
No, I don't think I have a less than Mary Poppins. Well, I do. I'm not Mary Poppins. Okay, I'll admit it. I'm not Mary Poppins. But I would say that I'm just interested in those characters because they're complex characters, and there's mysteries around who those characters are. And I actually think that if you look, if you want to make a documentary about someone, you want to go to the truth. You want to understand them as best you possibly can. And almost any great creative, any great artist that you want to make a film about, there's a darkness there.
Yeah,
and there's darkness in all of us. We just try and cover it up. And most of the time in entertainment, it's about let's get away from all the horrible things in the world and escape into fantasy world. I think I'm not very good at escaping into fantasy world. I'm more about exposing the underbelly.
Okay, well, speaking of...
I'm just a truth teller.
Okay, we'll let him get away with that one. All right, but talking about... last question. Now, you have a connection to one of the great creative films. I mean, one of the films that, my God, I think every creative person on the planet has been inspired and seen this film, The Red Shoes.
Hmm. Well, that is a film which was made by my grandfather and his partner, Michael Paub. My grandfather's name was Emmerich Pressburger. He was a Hungarian Jew. Yeah. We're in Berlin as we're doing this interview, and he lived here for quite a while in the 20s. He got his start in film here.
Okay.
Left because of the rise of the Nazis, 33, no surprise there. Went to France for a couple of years, ended up in England, met this man, Michael Paub, and my grandfather was always fascinated by the ballet.
Okay.
And he wrote a ballet film in the late 30s. It didn't happen. And when after the war, he and his partner made all these great films during the war. After the war, they thought, the world needs color. The world needs escapism. And they made this film. But really, as you said, the film is one of the most beautiful films ever made. But it's also about something quite dark. It's about, the consequences of being an artist, the obsessiveness of being an artist, about people who literally will create till they die and maybe drive themselves to an early grave through creativity. So he made that, I think, because he wanted to present in the post-war world, which was very kind of everything was about, we got to beat the Nazis, we got to fight this ideology. It was all very serious, and he had made many films like that. He wanted to say there's other things worth dying for. There's other things that are beauty and the positive sides of life, and maybe we should be dying for that to create a more beautiful world. And that, I think, was the theme that he was getting at. So I used that film as a kind of metaphor in making the film about John Galliano, making the documentary about Galliano. So you see quite a lot of the clips there. And I think psychologically they put you in the same place that John is in when he's in his sort of self-destructive downturn.
Kevin McDonald, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Nice.